Today, I want to talk about a subject which I think is extremely, extremely important. I cannot emphasize this enough. And I was blessed, and because this was taught to me very, very early in my Christian life. Very early. I was a new disciple, and this was grilled in my mind. Okay? And I'm very, very thankful for people who did that. Because this is so, so important, this message and this principle that is taught in the Bible. Okay, and I've titled this message, Promotion Comes from the Lord. Promotion comes from the Lord. Let's read Psalm chapter 75, verse 6. For promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one and sets up another. So in this passage, you know, north is not mentioned, right? East, west, south is mentioned. So east, west, south represents earthly from this world, right? And it represents man. But north represents God, and north represents heavenly. So it's saying promotion, like prosperity. And the word promotion here means to be lifted up above the rest, to be given dominion or position of authority, to be in a place of, you know, power. This comes from God. This comes from God, not from man. Okay, and this is, you know, this is faith. This is how faith sees things. When faith sees power and authority, it sees that God is the one who has given this power and authority to this man. You know, this is faith. 1 Samuel 2 verse 7 says, the Lord makes poor, makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill. He sets them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. So he's saying God is the one who makes someone low in position, and God is the one who makes someone high in position. He makes the rich, he makes the poor, and if he wills, he can put the beggar in the palace. Amazing. If he wants, he can put the beggar in the palace. So ultimately, it's God who promotes and demotes. And no matter how hard man tries, it's ultimately God. God is the one. And Psalm 127 verse says, one says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord builds the house. So all the labor of man, though man may claim that he's self-made, no one helped him and he's the one who did all this, it is not true. It is God who builds the house. Okay? Lord is the one who runs the universe. And he decides who gets what. And he gives power to people. And that's the main, you know, message this morning. All authority in this universe has been given by God. And when I go against that authority, I go against God. And all my excuses are basically my excuses not to submit to God. Okay? And this same exact, you know, this exact view Jesus had when he was before Pilate. In John chapter 19 verse 10, it says, then said Pilate unto him, speakest thou not to me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou could have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Okay, so Pilate is confused. Like, why is he not cooperating with me? Why is he not, cooperating? Of course, he was cooperating. But why is he not begging me for forgiveness? Why is he not begging me, Pilate, please let me go. You don't understand. You don't understand what, you know, the truth. And Pilate is shocked. And he even reminds him, that, listen, hello, I am in charge. I can let you go free. And Jesus says, no, you are mistaken, Pilate. It is not you who is in charge. It is God who has given you this power. And if you crucify me today, it will be God's will. If you let me go today, it will be God's will. And you know, Pilate was shocked. He had not heard anything like this before. And that's why after this, he was more willing to let him go. Because probably, right, he knows that's the truth, right? I'm nobody, right? Probably he thinks that what he's saying is right. You know, this is the view we should have. Not to resist authority. And I want to tell in the beginning only, I'm not talking about when the authority tells us to sin. Okay, I'm not talking about that. When the authority, of course, tells us to do things against Jesus Christ and against God, which is clearly given in the Bible, then of course we say, no, I cannot do that. And if they punish you for that, then you have to submit to that. Okay, then you have to submit to that punishment. That's why the Bible says, right, pray that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Why? Because it could be possible that the authorities start punishing people for obeying Jesus Christ. So I'm not talking about that. But for other things, the laws and rulership that authority has placed, you have to submit to that until they tell you to sin against Jesus. So the first authority that God has placed is worldly government. Worldly government, right? In Romans chapter 13, verse 1, it says, let every soul be subject unto higher power. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinances of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation or punishment. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power that to do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same? So, we are not to resist earthly power. Very clear. The governments of this world, though they are evil and they don't recognize God, and they are not, you know, promoting righteousness and right behavior in one sense. But we are not to talk against them, call them names, and resist them. And basically also campaign against them. Because why? When we resist them, it says, we resist the ordinance that God has placed in this world. See, it says, whosoever therefore resist the power, resist the ordinance of God. Very clear. And what will happen? If you resist, you will receive punishment. For rulers are not a terror to good work, but for the evil. So notice, they are God's servants. Though they don't acknowledge that, they are God's servants. To have some kind of law and order in this society, right? Though they are corrupt and though they are filling their own pockets or whatever, but to some degree they do maintain law and order in the society. To some degree they do promote goodness. You know, like no society is openly saying, look, go ahead and rob whomever you want to, right? Go ahead and assault anyone you want to. No society is openly saying that. But to some degree, of course, they are enforcing punishment. Okay, and that is God's authority. And that is God's law. So, you know, if we are doing good, then this government will reward you for the good you are doing. But if you are doing evil, then this government will reward you for the evil that you are doing. It's plain and simple. And, you know, I feel most people who don't like earthly government are doing something wrong in their life. That's what I think. You know, they talk bad about the government and it should like that, and they are doing like this. I think to some extent they are doing things that they are afraid of, like if the government finds out or the police finds out, they are in trouble. But in those who live good, honest life, they are not so hateful against police and all these authorities. You know, they understand that they don't have any problem submitting to that. Titus 3 verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates. So very clear, right? The pastor, the leaders have to remind the church to be subject to authorities in the government. To obey magistrates, to be ready to do every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Then the second authority after the laws of the land, the government, you know, the police, they don't, the sword that they have, the gun that they have is given to them by God. And they will use it if we go against the laws of the land. If we sin, basically, right? If we do unlawful things. Then the second authority that God has in place is in my workplace, my boss that I work under. 1 Timothy 6 verse 1. Let as many servants are under the yoke, count their own masters worthy of all honor. Worthy of all honor. That the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. Wow. You know, when I talk bad against my boss that I work for, who pays me the money that I get, you know, I am blaspheming God. I am going against God. I may claim that I am a very obedient Christian. I am, you know, I submit to God. I pray so many times. But I am not, if I'm not submitting to authority, I don't know God. Okay? You know, and that principle, remember, if we don't love man whom we see, how can we love God whom we don't see? And it, the same principle is here. If a person does not submit to human authority, he is not submitting to God's authority. Plain and simple. So if I, you know, if I backbite my boss, slander and malign him, and talk back bad of him behind his back to other colleagues in my office, I am going against authority. I am doing something which is sin, and I'll get into trouble. What if I'm cheating at my workplace? I'm not working for the time that I'm paid for. What I'm doing, eye service. When my boss looks, that's when I work and I do a good job. But when he's not around, I do my own thing. What, you know, if I slander, malign, all these things, right? All these things is going against authority in the workplace. And when I do that, I'm going against God. I'm going against Him. Ephesians 6 verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. So according to the flesh means in this life, right? Earthly. With fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. You know, that is the key. As unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing of any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he is bond or free. Any masters do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So we have to obey the people that we work under, and we have to do it with fear and respect. Means we have to have respect for them, not backbiting, not slandering and maligning. And doing it with the singleness of a heart, meaning not doing it and giving it your best. Giving it your best. Why? Because you are servants of Christ. You know, when you are serving a man who is above you in authority, God has given that authority above you. When you are serving Him, you are serving Christ. Now, this is service of Christ. And if you live this way, you know, God will bless you. This is the path to blessing. I'm telling you. Be submissive to the authority. Work hard. Do the best you can. And let God promote you. Let God promote you. And there are so many stories, right, of honest Christians working in a different way than the heathens working and their bosses promoting them. You know? And I love this story of G.H. Lang. He has this in his book. He was working for an advocate as an assistant. Okay, and once his boss told him to tell a lie. Someone called and, you know, he said, just tell a lie, tell something lie. And G.H. Lang said, I cannot do that. I will not lie. I'm a Christian. And he said that his boss got so mad and upset at him that he did not tell him what to do. But he said, I just cannot do that. So he was willing to take the consequence, like he would be kicked out of his job or whatever. But he was saying, I cannot lie. And then, you know, he writes in his book that after many months where he was still continuing to work there, he noticed that his boss started trusting him even more. Like he would give him the keys to his, to his locker. And just like trust him in everything. And he was like promoted like crazy. And he was wondering, why is that? And then he remembered, maybe it was that incident when I told him I cannot lie. And I heard, you know, I got shouted at because of that. He said, maybe it's because of that, now he knows I'm not going to cheat him. You know, I'm not going to steal his money or anything. So he started trusting me. You know, this is how God promotes. This is how God promotes. Then the next authority is the authority in the home. Very, very clear. Authority of the husband at home. 1 Timothy 3 verse 4, one that rules well his own house. This is a qualification of an elder, a bishop in the church. He should be someone who rules well his own house. I want you to focus on the word rule. What comes to your mind? Rule. It comes like commands, right? Do this, don't do that. If you do this, I'll be upset. Rules well his own house. Having his children in subjection. Subjection with all gravity. Man, another bad word to use that day. This in this age, right? Subjection. Sounds like slavery. Sounds like oppression and tyranny. Doesn't sound new age at all. Doesn't sound equal. All men are made equal at all. But you know what? This word is all over in the Bible. It's all over in the Bible. I was so shocked. Again and again and again, this word submission, submit, comes in the Bible. So, you know, the husband is the ruler of the home. He's the king. Just like the magistrate. He is the king. He speaks. What he speaks is authority. Hopefully, of course, the wife and the children are acknowledging that and submitting to that. You know, if that does not happen, it's going to be chaos. Chaos and problems and all kind of things. Of course, many times, maybe the man is not doing what he's supposed to be doing. That's another story. We'll come to that again. But, you know, this is the authority given by God at home. The man comes first, the second comes the wife. The wife has authority over the children. She's the boss and she has to enforce what she says children do. You know, the only people who don't have any authority is children. And I'll come to that. There's a very nice, good verse on children. Like Jesus said, be converted and become like little children. And you know, the children, the unique thing about children is they are the only one who don't have any domain of authority. No one listens to them. Right? We all love children, but man, if they tell us to do something, oh man, that makes me mad. When a child tells me to do something. You know, children have no dominion. No dominion. They just have authority upon authority. But that's how it is, right? Of course, they will grow up and they will have their own domain. But husband is the first, has authority. The wife has the authority. And you know, if these things are upside down, there's going to be chaos in the home. Of course, there is bad authority, and authority can be abused. Like all these things that I went through, the government can abuse authority. The boss can abuse authority. The father can abuse authority. But my question is, you know, how much of this abuse is because of resistance? how much of this abuse that we hear of again and again, how authorities have abused, how much of it is just because the subjects resisted? I bet a lot of it. A lot of it is because the subjects resist. You know, this is a big problem. Life will always be under some kind of dominion and authority. In fact, every time, you know, there will be people above you. There will be some people above you who will have authority over you. And how about the authority in the government? You know, government, all governments are basically totalitarian government. There is no democracy, by the way. It's an illusion. All governments are totalitarian governments. Voting and all these things is just nonsense. You look at history, be it whatever government, if you went against them, they punished you, man. They punished you big time. Whatever name you give them. You know, even the most civilized governments of the world have oppressed their own people because for some reason they questioned them, or, you know, they, for whatever reason, that was not benefiting them. So my question is, you know, how much of this abuse is because the subjects oppose them? I think a lot of them. And of course, there is a small percent where just the authority is crazy. I mean, what can you do? He's just not. But I think that's a very, very, very small percentage. And of course, we have fallen and these things happen. But, you know, if you can get out of it, why not, right? Like God said, if you are a slave and if you can be free, then get out of it. But if you are in a country that doesn't give you freedom, that doesn't let you worship, then get out of that country, right? But of course, I don't think that can happen in a husband-wife situation. Maybe if he's abusing, like, you know, physically, then it should separate. But yeah, my point today is, like, how much of this abuse is happening because of resistance from those who should not be resisting? Then, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything, not just in some things. And verse 25 is also important. I wanted to put that verse also so that y'all don't think I'm just talking about the wives. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So, you know, we as husband, yes, God has given us authority. But how about, you know, proving ourselves worthy of that authority? Right? Right? We can, you know, prove worthy that, yeah, God, we are worthy of this authority. And, you know, we will do what you want us to do. And we will love our wife. We will love our children. We will, you know, lay down our life. And we will give them importance. And we will do what you have told us to do. So, that's for us husbands. But notice the word wife, submit. Church is subject. Husband is the head. Man, that's a big thing. Husband is the head and wife is like the body. Like, just like Jesus Christ is the head and the church is the body. So my point is, you know, authority and leadership is everywhere. This is God's way of leading us and guiding us. And this is God's way of teaching us humility, of teaching us submission. And, you know, these kind of people will be exalted by God in this life and also in the life to come. So man is the head. He's like the pastor of the home. Though he may not be a pastor in the church, he is a pastor in the home. So every Christian man is a pastor, by the way. Then he's the head. He gives direction. He gives the reasoning, the thinking, the logic behind it. He is concerned for the body, right? The head is concerned for the body. He's trying to work with the body and doing the best for the body. Now, going off, you know, I want to go off a little tangent of the subject. I want you to think of the word head. Head. You know, the head is the chief of the body. The head is the chief of the body. It rules. It analyzes and it makes decision. What is in the head, by the way? What is in the head? Thank you, Rajesh. I hope all are agreeing with me. What is in the head? Brain. Why am I saying that? Maybe some of y'all will not relate to what I'm saying. But you know, we had some people, opposers, saying that you cannot relate the brain to the mind. Can you believe that? There's some people opposed us by saying you cannot relate the brain to the mind because there is no word brain in the Bible. Like the word brain is not mentioned in the Bible at all. So you cannot relate brain to the mind. I'm like, okay. So this person probably did a word search on the word brain and came up with this brilliant idea. But what if you do a word search on the word head? You know how many verses are there on that? 350 verses. Just on the. I just did an English word search, head, 350 verses. You see, bad reasoning. That's not the way to study the Bible, my friend. If the word brain doesn't appear in the Bible, that means you proved that the brain cannot be related to thinking and mind. That is not the way you study the Bible. Bible is not written by man. Bible is not written by man. If you critique the Bible, who are you critiquing? God, the author. You know, whenever you critique a book, what are you critiquing? You're critiquing the author. So, you know, when I do these things, I am critiquing the author. So I need to be very careful. Very careful. Don't be like a childish teacher like that. Okay? 350 times the word head appears. And what is in the head? I hope you agree with me. The brain. The brain is in the head. And the brain happens to be called the chief of the body. Interesting. Very interesting. So if you just prove that the word brain is not in the Bible, you proved nothing. You didn't prove anything. You just proved that the word brain is not in the Bible. Right? I don't know if you get all this reasoning, but you know, you didn't prove anything. You didn't prove your view. You didn't discredit my view. It just proves that, the word brain is not in the English Bible. But now I just want to think about this. The word head appears 350 times in the Bible. It's called the chief. Okay, just like Jesus Christ is the chief of the body. So that means the head is the chief of your body, right? It rules, just like Jesus rules the body. It gives direction, it gives logic, it gives everything you need. Now, let's turn to Daniel chapter 4, verse 5. I want you to turn there so that you can read with me. Daniel chapter 4, verse 5. It says, I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Interesting, right? Where are his thoughts coming from? He says, my head. You know, this is just one verse I showed you. There are 350 verses. I didn't go through all of them, but at least in the book of Daniel, at least five times this phrase appears. I just gave you one verse. At least five times, 4 to 5 times, he says, "The vision of my head, the vision of my head." So don't tell me, please, that the head is not associated with thinking. Okay, and this person said, if you believe that, if you believe the brain, you know, if you believe the brain is used for thinking and mind, then you are following science and you're not following the Bible. See, I follow the Bible. The Bible does not say the word brain, so I don't associate the word brain with thinking. So you guys are believing science, man. But I just showed you it's not true. It's not true. 350 times brain is associated. And here clearly the brain is associated with thinking. So out goes that whole premise. That person should also have checked the word head. Now this idea of, you know, I go to the science. You know, this person who says that the brain cannot be associated with thinking does MRI scans, does imaging of his brains and the people in his family. He did imaging of his brain. Why? 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 I mean, I'm so mad. I'm so, so mad. You know, these people are so out there for their own agenda. They don't live what they believe. This person just preached 1 hour message on saying the brain cannot be associated with thinking, but he goes out and does brain scanning. I feel sorry for people who buy all this logic. I mean, I really feel sorry, but what can I do? You know what? The brain is mind-blowing. I'm taking this from science, but I just explained to you, I am not doing anything unbiblical. The Bible has the word head, which is associated with thinking. You know, the brain is only 2% of your body, but it consumes almost 25% of the energy that you take in. Just 2% of your body. So if you're 50, you weigh 50, your brain, the weight of your brain is only 1 kg. But it consumes almost 25% of the energy that you take in. And, you know, 15% of the blood that is pumped by your heart, 15% of the blood that is pumped by your heart is consumed by your brain. That's unbelievable. 20% of the oxygen that you breathe in goes to the brain, while it is only 2% of your body. Why is that? Why is that if it's just lying there doing nothing? Why is it taking in so much of energy? Because it's working and working and working. It's controlling everything you do. Yes, I am taking it from science because I believe this is common sense. And if science tells me that this is evolution. By the way, that is not scientific, by the way, okay? Evolution is not scientific. It's just a theory. No one can prove creation in the laboratory. They are guessing, and we are going by the scripture. So that is not scientific. So coming back to our message, the head speaks of authority, and you know, we have to submit to authority. And the more we submit, we are submitting to God, we are obeying God, we are being humble. You know, this is humility. It takes humility to submit. God will promote you. And I have seen this in my life, and I'm sure you have, if you have followed Jesus Christ long, you have seen this in how humble people get promoted. Then lastly, authority of elders in the church. 1 Timothy 5 verse 17. Let the elders rule well. You know, the rule well, the phrase rule well is the same phrase that was used for the husband in the home. Let the elders that rule well count worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. The laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before 2 or 3 witnesses. Very important. Very, very important. If you want to go anywhere in your spiritual life, if you want to be, you know, a Christian that serves faithfully God and we become more and more mature, you need to be in a church where there are godly pastors, godly leaders guiding. They are not perfect, and they might, but we'll come to what they need to do. Okay, they are not perfect, and they will do mistakes. But we'll come to, if they are doing those things properly, then that's the place for you. That's the place for you to submit and to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, you know, church leaders are appointed by God, my friends. Just like we are not to be, you know, resisting other authorities in my workplace, in my house, in the government. You know, I should not resist authority in the church. Acts 20 verse 28, take heed therefore yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So the Holy Spirit had made overseers in the church. Holy Spirit. Yes, man recognizes, but ultimately remember the power and authority and position is coming from God. Otherwise, he would not be there in that position, believe me. So to the such authority, so to the church authority, we have to give double honor. What does it mean, double honor? It means I respect them by my words and actions. And in this passage, you know, if we can, we should support the pastor financially, right? It says, for the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. The laborer is worthy of his reward. So pastors who are faithfully laboring in word and doctrine, teaching the church, should be helped financially. And this is part of double honor. Then, verse 19, we receive not an accusation. So, double honor is by my giving financial help or, you know, any physical thing, but also by my attitude, my behavior. You know, I can be a person that is submissive, right? I'm not like talking back behind, like just like my boss, right? I don't resist my boss. Man, I'll be kicked out so soon, I won't even know. You know, my boss hangs the phone down. Even now, I've been working with him for so many years. If I just tell something which he doesn't like, he just cuts the phone, man. Interesting, right? Interesting. But you know what? You know, the other thing is, you know, I take that. I said, okay, you know, he's boss and, you know, he's going to pay me at the end of the month. So I better calm down my anger. But you know what? If my pastor does that to me, will I take it that way? He fires me and he slams the phone and he says, will I be, like, man, this guy, he's trying to lord over me. No, but, you know, I should, we'll come to lording over later, but you know, I should be able to have that kind of relationship with people who are, you know, better than me, have seen more life than me, who are guiding me and helping me out. I should be able to take that kind of a response, okay? I'm not saying that, you know, hanging the phone like that. I'm just giving an example. That happens to me all the time. And the next thing I think is, I'm resigning now. Then I said, no, I'm not resigning. So, you know, cultivating good relationship with your boss. You know, my boss is not interested in creating relation with me because they at a high level, they want to have, you know, but I'm always trying to be friendly with him. I'm friendly with him. He asks me a question. I'm very friendly with him. If he goes into personal things, I go into personal things. He talks about my children. So, you know, being friendly. You know, and friendship is both ways, right? If someone tries to be friendly with you, then you also need to do something to show friendship. You know, one good example is like someone tells you, don't go, let's have tea. And you don't care about tea right now, you know. You have very busy and you want to do something and you last thing on your mind is having tea. But you say, no, I want to have friendship with this guy or this lady. Or, you know, I want to be friendly. So let's have tea. Though I don't want to have tea, right? But I want to cultivate a relationship. You know, this is honor. This is respect. This is me showing, you know, I want to be your friend. And, of course, slander and backbiting, man, that's a big no-no. Because remember, if your government finds this out, remember, things that, you know, this is all in all the realm. If your government finds this out, if your boss finds this out, you will be in big trouble. What if you are, you know, if your children are backbiting you? You know, and telling things that they should not be telling. The same is with the church. I think people go, you know, become more familiar with the church is because, you know, they are not going to get in trouble. Especially in big churches where people are dependent on their money. So, you know, if I offend him, he will not come tomorrow and my offering will go down. So, you know, they just do what they want to do. But, you know, this is faith. This is faith. That I see authority, though I may not get into trouble. Though I, by sight it looks like, you know, no one is watching me and I can do what I want to do. But, you know, this is faith that I say, no, this is God who has appointed this person. And I am going to restrain. I'm going to trust God for this authority. And believe me, God is and He can check and bring, you know, bring into subjection these kind of authority. So I trust God. You know, God will deal with it. And because God is the one who has put him and God is the one who will remove him. So honor, you know, honor is, remember, we have to show also friendship to our pastor. Okay, not just, you know, he didn't call me, or he didn't do this to me, he didn't do that for me, and, you know, all these long list of things people have that their leaders should be doing for them. But how about, you know, I also show some relationship. That's double honor. And remember, honor is shown in actions, not in words. Not in words. You know, we have some people like, all the time they're saying, pastor, 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 pastor. It drives me nuts. And the problem with that is they don't do what the pastor is telling them to do. You know? And every sentence, 5-10 times, they'll say, pastor, 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 pastor. I'm like, come on, please shut up, right? And what do I mean? You don't need to call people pastor and give all these titles, believe me. You show it, you show respect, and you show, you know, that you are following and guide his guidance into spirit by the way you do things. When pastor says, tells a small thing to you, how do you react? Oh, why is he telling me? There are so many other people in the church. Why is he not telling this person and that person? You know, that is when the true, whether you really believe he's your pastor or it comes out. And the other thing is, like, if he tells you small things to do and you just went and did the exact opposite, I don't care how many times you say pastor, it doesn't mean anything. You are your own pastor, you do what you want to do. So, you know, this is honor. Like, how do I do things, you know, when some authority tells me to do things? Then, you know, this authority is there in the scriptures and in the church, definitely it's there. And not all members in the church. Some are growing, right? Some are children. It says, John says, some are children, some are young men, and some are elders. So we all are at different level of maturity. Yes, no one is perfect. All are growing, but all are at different level of maturity. And some, for some, God, by His sovereign hand, places as a shepherd to guide His church. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostle, second, prophets, thirdly, teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So I notice here, God has set in the church, first, apostle, second, prophets, thirdly, teachers. So I see an order here. The teaching ministry is a ministry of overseer, who rules and guides the church in the right direction. You know, they say, okay, let's go for outreach today. Let's have prayer time today. Let's do this. You know, or of course, they take input from everyone in the church. So that's also the work of the pastor. And God has said this in the church. 1 Timothy 2 verse 11, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach or to usurp authority over the man. But to be in silence, for Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. You know, Paul is here trying to explain the subject of authority. The subject of authority. And he's saying here that authority really depends on God. God made man, Adam first, and then Eve. And in that creation order, he set authority. That's the point. It doesn't mean that Adam has more importance than Eve, or Eve is inferior to Adam. It just means that one has been given the work of ruling, guiding, taking decisions, and helping the whole family, right, to go in the right direction. It doesn't mean Eve is less, right? And also the reason is Eve got deceived, while Adam did not get deceived. So Paul is trying to explain that same way, you know, in the church, the women are not being given the position and authority, a position of authority. That's why the women are not to be pastors and leaders of the church, because then they will have authority over the man. First Peter 5 verse 1, the elders which are among you, I exhort you, who I am also an elder and a witness of suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lord over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fade not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Very important passage. He's saying the elders, he's first talking to the elders. What are the elders supposed to do? Feed the flock. Feed the flock. You know, this is the main work of a pastor. So if I'm in a church and I'm being fed, I'm being encouraged, just like we were encouraged this morning, right? Not to be earthly minded. You know, if I'm fed, if I'm being encouraged as a disciple of Jesus Christ who want to enter the kingdom, right? That's the right church for me, right? But if I'm not being fed, you know, then it's not the right church for me. Taking the oversight. So they have to feed the flock. They have to oversee the things of the church. It's their responsibility. If anything goes wrong, you know, if anything is in a mess or not in an order, it's their responsibility. So they are oversight. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. You know, that is. These are the things that I look for in a church or a pastor. Are they feeding me? You know, are they taking oversight? You know, are they doing it with all their heart? You know, are they doing with, you know, that is seen, by the way, okay? If you are, you know, just not all there, of course, there are times when we have a bad day, but, you know, is the pastor like excited and, you know, he loves what he does? Then, very important, is he doing this for filthy lucre, money? And this is an epidemic in these days among Christian churches. Begging for money. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Thursday evening, Thursday morning, every time, you know, they are asking for money. And though maybe they don't start that way, believe me, they don't start that way. Maybe many pastors, you know, they start good. But they see these things all around them, so they think, yeah, we also should be doing this now. And they have all these programs that they need to fund and run, right? But thank God if you are in a church which is not begging you for money all the time. I'm really telling you. But, you know, you are free to give as the Lord leads you. And as you see a need, and you see you can help someone. You know, if you're in this kind of church, praise God. Praise God, you know, and don't look for small things that offend you. Oh, the pastor, you know, did not say hi to me today this morning. It doesn't say anything like that here, right? If the pastor doesn't greet you properly, Make sure you are, as an elder, you greet everyone properly. No, it doesn't say that. Oh, if the pastor, you know, did not look at my children properly today, and he did something that my children were offended, or he, you know, those things. Of course, he might have done that, maybe, but I don't know. But that is not the reason for me to all get bitter and mad and upset about it. Really, that's not the reason. So small things like that, right? I don't bring it up, or I don't make it a big deal. But I make these things a big deal. Please go ahead and make these things a big deal. But not, you know, side things, and no, don't become bitter. And because, you know, that will collect and collect and collect and collect, and it might come up. And the next thing is, you know, you are out of a very good church that probably was the best church for you. Notice the verse. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. You know, this is the key to promotion with God. This is the key, that we are humble towards each other. We are humble. If you want to be promoted by God, if you want to be blessed by God, don't fight for if your pride is hurt. Don't fight if someone said something to you and you were, you know, brought low, and that person maybe seemed to become higher. Don't fight for these things. Say, God, thank you for humbling me today. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, the more down you go, the more God will promote you, believe me. This is the key for promotion in all respect of life. Don't fight for when your pride is hurt. But say, I will humble myself under the mighty hand of God. And believe me, God is going to humble every single creature on this planet. He has promised that. That's what He has promised. And all the scriptures say that when Jesus comes back, the mighty are going to look for holes in the mountains to hide. That's humility. Right? He's going to humble every proud neck forcefully. And you know, God hates pride like anything. And He just loves humility. He just loves it. I don't know why, but that's what... But one reason I feel is because, you know, pride is satanic. Pride comes directly from Satan. And that's the reason he fell, right? In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, shining one, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will extol myself above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of Nod. I will ascend about the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. You know, self-exaltation is pride. And I think that's the reason God hates it, is because it's from the Satan directly. When I exalt myself, when I'm proud, and he hates it, he will make sure that he humbles me. So why not get humbled voluntarily, right? I'm going to be forced to be forcefully humbled anyways. And this is 1 Timothy 3 verse 6. You know, this is what novice people do. Not a novice, being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of devil. So, you know, let us be humble. Let us take every opportunity when we are humbled. We can be humbled by circumstances, right? You know, I plan things and it doesn't happen. I work hard, but I don't see the results. I'm doing everything that I can, but there is nothing to show. Let these things, you know, humble us. Say, God, I'm nothing, but you are everything. And I'm looking forward to that day when you will humble. You will exalt and promote the humble people. You know, let these things humble us. Let these things not make us bitter, not make us angry, and not make us offended and quit the race. So let others promote you. That's the key. That's the key to promotion. I don't promote myself. I don't
you know, show how great I am and how I am better than others. I just keep serving and doing things that by the grace of God, and let others tell me, come up higher, come up higher. You know, that is promotion from God. If this that happens in this life, if someone tells you, you know, man, you're doing this so good, you know, you're playing whatever, this guitar thing very well, come, you know, come and do this something good, greater. You know, that is from God. Rather than you going and saying, you know, can I do, you know, I can play one song, can I join the band? Don't do that. Okay. Let the band come and tell you, man, you play the guitar very well. Will you come and join us? You know, that is promotion from God. And that, and at that time, don't say, no, I'm a very humble person. I just want to sit in my room and... That time, you know, you should go for it. That time, that is from God. When others promote you, when others call you up higher, go for it. That is from God. And that's what Joseph did, right? Joseph was humbled all through his life. And, you know, one day he goes to the king, Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh says, and he explains the dream to the Pharaoh. And he says, you know, you appoint a man who will take care of all these things. And he tells him the whole plan. And the Pharaoh says, you are the man. He didn't say, I can be that man, by the way. I just told you the plan, and I am that person that can fill in that position. He didn't say that. The Pharaoh said, you are the man. I will appoint you. And at that time, Joseph didn't say, no, I am not the man. Please, put me back in the dungeon. I'll be just sitting there and, you know, doing nothing. He said, yeah, sure. Bring in the rewards, right? And he went for it with all his heart. You know, that is true promotion. And that is not, you know, if someone says, no, I don't want that. I'm just a humble guy sitting in the last bench every time I come to church. No, that's false humility. That's false humility. Something is seriously wrong, you know, with that. So, that let others promote you. And when they do, they take it as if it's from God. And then do and serve in that position properly, right? Not to get proud and nasty, right? When you are given that high position. So, I'm going way. No, it's only 1 hour. There's one more hour to go. No, just 10 minutes more, okay? You know, some love to be preeminent. Some love position and honor. You know, some just love this thing. For others, they can't relate to this. They're like, why would anyone do that? But some just love to be preeminent. Just love this. You know, you are so great. And you do this so well. And why don't... And they like, you know, the... they like recognition. And, you know, those things, if it come, you know, I should spot that, and I should, you know, say, no, that is wrong. I should not be seeking preeminence. You know, and I should get out of that as fleshly lust. And I should come in the humble mindset. In 3 John verse 9, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have preeminence among them. See, the apostles just... So he just, you know, nails it, right? I love it. You know, this man, he's causing all kinds of problems. But the guy over him, he says exactly what his problem is. The Apostle John, who was an apostle, who was a leader of the church, he nails the problem. He's saying, yeah, Diotrephes, his problem is he loves preeminence. That's why he's causing all these problems in the church. And what was he doing? He was talking against the leaders. He does not receive us, the apostles, and he's prating against the apostles with malicious words. And then, of course, he wants everyone else to follow his own decision that he decided about this group of brethren that was coming to their church. So, you know, this is sin. If I'm into preeminence, not all have this, but some have this problem. you know, they should recognize this. Say, I don't have to, you know, be preeminent. Not everyone has to do what I tell them to do. God is the one running the universe, not I, right? And I don't have to teach. I don't have to song lead. You know, I don't have to be up here doing something important. Yeah, if they tell me to, why not? But you know, this is sin, and this will get me into trouble. Problem with apostates in the last days. Jude chapter 8, it says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignity. So, you know, Jude is a book written explaining apostasy in the last days. How people will not be contending for the faith, they will not be in the faith, but they will be falling away. And what is one of their problems? They are dreamers. Dreamers. They despise dominion. I think, why do they despise dominion? Because they don't have what they are dreaming for, right? That's what I think. They despise dominion and they speak evil of dignities. Verse 9, even Michael, the archangel, while contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Dare not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Very, very interesting verse. You know, Michael the archangel, he's like one of the greatest angels God has created. He stands in the presence of God. And he does not speak and rebuke and slander Satan. I mean, what a humble, humble angel. Though he has all the reason to. But he realizes, you know what he realizes? What do you think he realizes? Any, you can speak. Why do you think he doesn't do that? Yeah, he's an authority. Yeah. I think because he knows that God has put him there. That's why he does not. Just because of this. God is the one who's put Lucifer in that place. You know, just because of this one reason, he does not open his mouth. And he says, may the Lord rebuke you. And that is what I'm talking about this morning. Just because God has given authorities over us, you know, we should realize that, recognize that. And when we submit in humility, we are submitting to God. In closing, filthy dreamers. You know, this is the main problem. I think this is one of the main problems of people who want to have preeminence and have all these problems. You know, they are dreamers. They dream, 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 and they dream too big. And when they dream too big, which they cannot, you know, attain or live up to, they have all these problems. They have all these emotional problems. So, you know, our dreams, I feel our dreams should be sober. Have sober dreams. I'm not saying we should not dream at all. Of course we should dream of, you know, good things and better things and things like that. But even in this life, you know, have sober dreams. Don't dream, you know, like crazy things. Like, you know, I want to be a chief minister of Goa someday or something like that, right? Don't dream things like that. Dream sober dreams. Have your ambitions in control. Especially in this life. Especially in this life. Yes, in the life to come, dream big as you can, please. Dream to sit in the left and the right hand of Jesus. How about that dream? Do you dream like that? That one day I would sit at the left hand of Jesus. You know, that is the dream that you can just dream. And go for it with all you can. But in this life, please be sober. Please be sober. Because you know what? It's not going to happen. 99.9% of the people are just going to live ordinary lives. It's the truth. That's why, you know, why what we should do? We should be faithful in the few things that God has given us. Be faithful in the few things that God has given you. and God will exalt you like you cannot imagine. And we see that all through the scriptures. So let's read Matthew chapter 25 verse 23. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." So my point is, you know, let's be sober in ambitions and be faithful in the small things that that God has given us. You know, most of us will be ordinary people, believe me. We will have an ordinary family. We will have an ordinary job. We will have an ordinary whatever, you know, reach in society. Not many people will be listening to us or caring for us. That's fine. But those small things, how are you taking it? Are you taking it as if God has given you this and you are going to be faithful in that? That is going to make the difference in God. So we'll stop here.